Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in a likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Please bow with me now as we pray. Father, we thank you so much tonight. God, that song said it so perfectly, Lord. We pull up to this table of your grace, and we prepare to eat the word of God. I pray that we would be meat takers tonight, not milk drinkers. We love you tonight, and we thank you for this opportunity to be fed by you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As you listen very carefully with me tonight, we're going to continue in the class that we had this morning and bring back the premise and then go into presuppositions and divine conclusions of one of the most important subjects in Christianity. A subject that Christians relate to through knowledge but do not understand often through their lives. That's all of us. All of us. And here is the subject. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, is so precious and is literal. We want you to see the blood of Jesus Christ being literal. It's mentioned 456 times. 75 times it is literal, and the rest of the times it is not literal, but it's revealing what is literal in spiritual application. But too many Christians misunderstand the blood. I remember when I was first saved, because I was taught that, I would say the blood of Jesus Christ be against you to Satan. And that was not a correct phrase. It is against him. Don't misunderstand me. But the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ shed for us does the following things. Number one, it gives us forgiveness of sins in 1 John 1:9. Therefore, it takes care of all that we have ever done outwardly. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was buried and rose again according to the Scriptures. And so, in 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4, this beautiful, precious blood of Christ. In 1 Peter 1:18, we have not been redeemed with silver and gold and the things we've received from the tradition of our fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without spot or blemish. So the precious blood of Christ was precious because though it was human blood, it had no sin in it. It was sinless. In Acts 20:28. And sin was in our blood. It is sin in the blood that makes a person want drugs, alcohol, pornography, sex, outside of marriages. It's sin in the blood. Therefore, it takes the blood to cleanse us, the perfect blood of a man who was God, but in his hypostatic union, he cleansed us from all sins. And therefore, in Acts, and then in Hebrews 10:22, we draw near with full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our body washed with pure water. So by his blood, we have access to God. And the Lord said, when I see the blood in the land of Goshen in Exodus 12:13, I'll pass over you. Now, the blood has paid for all of our sins. And therefore, in Hebrews 10:2, once the worshiper realizes that his sins have been purged, then he has no sin in his conscience. His conscience is free of sin in Hebrews 10:2b. And how much more shall the blood of Christ, who offered himself to God through the eternal Spirit, purge our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So the blood gives us access to God. It gives us forgiveness. It cleanses our conscience. But it doesn't give us the saving power of his life. And that's why so many marriages and problems in relationships and partnerships have so many problems. Friendships, because this truth, though often quoted, is not understood. So when Aaron, in Leviticus 16:14, took the blood of a bullock and he offered it for himself. Prior to that, he brought sweet-smelling incense that covered the mercy seat. And he did that for himself because he was a sinner. And then he brought the goat, killed the goat, laid his hand upon it, brought the blood in for the people. So we are so thankful for the sacred, precious blood of Christ. However, we must understand that it does not save us. Or it's salvation. It gives us salvation, but it does not save our daily lives. The Bible says, for God commendeth his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for our sins. How much more, being reconciled to God by his blood, we will be saved from wrath through him. If, when we were enemies to God, we were reconciled by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we'll be saved by his life. So the blood reconciles us and his life saves us. The blood gives forgiveness. And God can now look upon us outside of our sins. But the problem we constantly have is not understanding. Though we strive, try in every part of our bodies, we do not understand the truth that the blood does not deliver us daily. When we confess our sin in recovery, it cleanses us from all sin, for the blood is for God, the Father. And then it's for our hearts through the Holy Spirit's cleansing. Jesus Christ, when he gives us a description of Adam and Eve, Adam and Eve had not yet sinned. And in Genesis 2:21 and 22, God put Adam to sleep. He didn't put him to death. He put him to sleep. And as he put Adam to sleep, he brought Eve out of one of Adam's ribs or one of Adam's bones. And Adam said, "She's bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." Now in Genesis 1:26, when God made man, it is singular and a noun. But then right after that is a pronoun meaning them, Eve out of Adam. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he already died before they pierced his side. His death brought our redemption. But when his side was pierced, that speaks of the blood cleansing and imparting to us the life of the living water or the Word of God. Water and blood came out of his side, but he'd already died. So the second path had nothing to do with our redemption, the blood and water that came out of his side, because he'd already died, and the wages of sin is death. So one of the things that is essential and necessary for every possible relationship is to know how to be delivered. Saved, forgiven, access to God, cleansed conscience. But this is why people try over and over again to be delivered. And it's not through the blood. Now, deliverance can only come through the cross. And therefore, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How can we that are dead to sin, dead, live any longer therein? It took physical birth to bring sin into our lives, which wasn't our fault. It came from Adam. Imputation in Psalm 51:5 and Romans 5:12 and 5:19. As by one man's disobedience we all were made sinners, as by one man's obedience we were all made righteous when we believed. So now, what we don't understand, it doesn't take a lot of talking. It takes faith, not in positional truth. Not in positional truth, though it is a positional fact, but in an eternal, indisputable, historical fact. You understand that? In an eternal, indisputable, historical fact. Therefore, as many as were baptized unto Jesus Christ were baptized unto his death. Therefore, if we be buried in baptism unto the death, even as Christ was raised from the dead to the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. If we are planted together in the likeness of his death, we should be raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, henceforth we should not serve sin. Verse 7, he that is dead is freed from sin. And if we be dead with Christ, we'll also live with him. Now, I don't have to do a single thing once I understand this truth, but reckon, and if I have $1,000 in my checking account, I cannot write a check of $1,500. But if I have a historical fact in the spiritual account of truth that Jesus Christ died with me and I died with him, past tense, our old man is crucified. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh and the affections thereof. In Galatians 5:24, have, did, done. We are out of it and God is in it, and yet we fret and strive and strain because we know this principle, but we don't live in it. Now, life is the vital principle of truth. Love is the operating motivation of this truth. And the word is the beautiful regulating power of this truth. And as we begin to understand this truth, you are dead, your life is hid with God in Christ in Colossians 3:3. Nobody can crucify themselves. You can commit suicide, but you cannot crucify yourself. He did it. And he dealt with not only what we've done, he dealt with what we are. And the problem we have when we misunderstand the blood versus our death with Christ is we do not enjoy what he's done for who we are. And all there is left is in everything gives thanks. For this is the will of God concerning you in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. That's why we have constantly the exhortation to praise him for all things. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus in Ephesians 5:20. Once we understand that it took a physical birth to bring us into that sin nature, it took death to emancipate us from that sin nature. So it's past tense, past tense, past tense. It's not what I do, it is what he did. And now I am free to abide, to rest, to receive, to respond, to enjoy restoration, to enjoy recovery. And if I sin, I'll name it and forsake it, and the blood will take care of the sins. Well, but the cross took care of my sin. Now, I want you to see with me tonight that so many things do not go through the cross. And this is the problem. It does not go through the cross. We can be gifted, talented, and have amazing abilities. But thank God for those here that I enjoy so much. I believe it comes out of Christ. The only thing that's the church is that comes out of Christ. Not a single thing in Adam is accepted by God. No matter how much we are saved and on our way to heaven, if it doesn't go through his death, it is not living in resurrection. And it does not come out of Christ. Now watch this carefully. In Genesis 2:7, he made us out of the dust of the earth, and we became a living soul. But in Genesis 3:14b, the devil was cursed by God. And he said, thou shalt be a serpent on your belly the rest of your life, feeding on the dust. That means feeding on the first Adam. Feeding on men and women as he tries to become their God in this world system. He feeds on the dust, and the first Adam was made out of dust. The Bible doesn't say the second Adam in 1 Corinthians 15:45. It says the last Adam. But in verse 47, it does say the first and second man. Because a man came down from heaven who was God, and a man was visited by God and made lower than the angels, and all things were subject unto him, and yet they hadn't been under his feet at that time. But we see Jesus in Hebrews 2:9. Thank God he sent a man. Man sold out to the devil. So God said, I'll bring a man in, and through that man, I'll raise up men and women who will defeat the devil now and reign over the world as they're supposed to in the millennial reign. The God-man. We have a man in heaven tonight. Not just angels and our precious Father and Son, the Holy Spirit, but we have a man in heaven, and a man came to the earth, and a man defeated the devil through his perfect humanity, and the Father accepted the shedding of his blood. And then when we take up our cross daily, the devil has absolutely no dominion and no power. He is defeated by a man who knows he's crucified, reckons he's dead indeed under sin, presents his body to Christ in Romans 6:13b, and walks in the Spirit in Romans 8, one with no condemnation. It is a man that the devil can't stand, that sinful men who have an eternal historical fact in their side,
He paid for our sins, but he took care of what we are, what we were, what we've ever done. Yes, but who we are. And that's been taken care of 2,000 years ago. But Satan, just like he did in Genesis 3:4, does everything in his power to get men to doubt what God does and what God has said. So if it comes out of Christ, it's the church. If it doesn't come out of Christ, it's not the church. If conversations do not go through the cross, they are not resurrection. They're not from heaven. If they go through the cross, they're from heaven. The old man and the first creation had been dealt a blow of death. Now the old creation has been removed. And we live in this brand new creation. Not where we struggle and have it so tough in life, but where we are new in the new creation. And old things have passed away and all things have become new. And that's what the Word of God says. And you can quote it, but do you experience the victory and power of it through the living love and Word of God day in and day out? Because it's an eternal, historical, indisputable, indescribable fact. Leave positional truth out of it. Bring it into the... Listen, sin was dealt with in eternity past. And the church has no record of sin. And the Word of God says, we were holy and without blame before him in love as he chose us in eternity past. In Ephesians 1:4, we were called, predestinated to be elected in Christ, justified and glorified in eternity past. Now he deals with us in time if we become believers, and he imputes his righteousness without works apart from the law. Christianity is so marvelous and so wonderful and so precious and so beautiful that it's hard to explain. Victory, cleansing, purging, no more evil conscience, no more submitting to evil temptations time in and time out. But if we do, we recover. We have been victorious, and that's why God says in 2 Corinthians 2:14, he always causes us to triumph in Christ. That's why Romans 8:37 says we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. That's why we thank God for the victory through Jesus Christ in 1 Corinthians 15:57. We are so victorious that when we praise him and thank him, dead, emancipated from sin through death, after the blood takes care of our sins and the cross takes care of our sin. But the problems with divorces, immorality, and all these things that go on in people's lives, men with pornography and secret sinning, is they do not understand that that was crucified 2,000 years ago. That sin nature that gets its fun out of feeding on that pig stuff. Amen or amen? All right. So let us march on into the victory that he has won, into the victory that we now have forever, and thank him and praise him. Because we have, number one, the unity of worship in Romans 15:6, the unity of prayer in Acts 2:32 and 10:44. We have the unity of marriage in Ephesians 5:31 and Genesis 2:24. We have the tremendous unity of being victorious in battle in Joshua 23:10. We have unity in serving God in Psalm 102:12. And that is a precious unity. So here we have the unity of the faith in Ephesians 4:13. So if there's a problem, we come together and pray and go to God and live in the consciousness of life in the body. And all of a sudden, we discover that we are a member in particular. We are not just passive spectators. We are members in particular. And that's when body life becomes a reality. Not just church attendance, but we are in 1 Corinthians 12:27, members in particular. And you'll discover you are a member in particular. And God may have to reveal it to you if he hasn't already. But you are a member in particular in the body of Christ. And in your physical body, you have life. And you're not just cells in the body, you're a member of the body. My head gives information and guidance through the life of the arm. And my hand submits to the arm. And God keeps delegating his authority with direct authority and indirect authority through parents, through teachers, through pastors, through government, through policemen, through coaches. Why? Because we are indirect authorities from a direct authority, because there's life in the consciousness of us that we here in other churches throughout the world are in the body that has the consciousness that they are an organism and not a mechanism. Mechanism works from the outside. The organism is cells and members of the body of Christ on the inside. And therefore, we are more than passive spectators of 1 Corinthians 4:9. Paul said, we apostles have been set last. He said, we are spectacles to the world, to angels, and to men. And we're more than spectators, passive spectators. Passive spectators. We are members in particular with a corporate place and a corporate body to reveal corporate life as the body of Christ, which is the fullness of him on earth today. Bow your heads. Thank you. Let's give God a wave offering while you're standing. Thank you, Father. Satan does not like it's accomplished. He despises it. He likes to lie about the truth and make us live by feelings, sight, and experience, and not the reality of eternal truth in the living word. Say it with me. He wants us to live in feelings, sight, and experience. And hearsay and theirsay, etc. But we are living in the living organism of the head, Jesus Christ. Let's sing this song. As we give the invitation, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here tonight, would you bow your heads as we give the invitation? Tonight, if you're here and you've never accepted the Lord Jesus, but you believe he died, was buried, shed his blood, and rose again, would you just, with no one looking, put your hand up and say, I personally receive Christ as my Savior. So the ushers can help you, pray with you privately, and give you some material that will help you start your Christian life. Put your hand way up high. Way up. Thank you so much for coming tonight. Father, dismiss each one now in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit with protection, provision, and power in your presence. Keep us safe on that night, all these highways. In Jesus' name, amen. And I say,